You all know who I am. Yep. No one knew. Alrighty. Well, I was going to explain more about what my plans and how things are going down there in the next message. So, don't go anywhere. So, am I actually that exciting? Like, everyone's like all excited that Jack's going to preach today. Am I actually that exciting? I really wish my people down there would feel that way. Pastor, are you really going to preach today? Full services? That'd be really cool if they ever said that. I think I just die of a heart attack. Well, let's look at a verse here. Have a good time today. In Zechariah 9:1. This phrase I'm looking at, I'm going to probably take it out of context, but I want to just show us this phrase here. It's called the burden of the word. Burden of the word, we just got done with a great conference on the Bible. Well, we didn't finish it, but we started it. And there's nothing better than studying the Bible. You can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with that. So see here, the burden of the word in Zechariah 9:1 says the burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach. And then also says that in the same thing in 12:1. Says the same thing. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, stretch forth the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. And it says it one more time in the Bible in Malachi. Just a couple more. It's just really interesting how it's like this in the last two books of the Bible. Malachi 1:1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And so I was thinking about this, what happened to us shortly after we left last year, went back to Guatemala. Our whole, our land fell in the river there and took our power pole with it, just kind of ruined the whole thing with our power, with the road and everything. And so I had to do really funny stuff with the power. And I built this telephone pole out of 2 2x4s. Can you imagine how that? I just needed to get high enough for to get above the highest truck. And just across the road, and then just went along on the grass all the way to two of our houses, not me, another guy's in my house. And that was working out fine, but apparently a really big trucker came by and wiped it out. It lasted for quite a while. And so I said, I just need to fix it right. And I found looked more like a power pole than 2 2x4s, and got it pulled out of the ground, an area where it wasn't being used, and dug a hole. And has anyone ever put up a power pole by hand before? No, I never done it either. So, but I thought of a really good plan. I had a really long chain that I brought back with me, and my plan was to connect the top of the power pole to that chain, hook it to the front of the bus, and stick it on a ladder. Derek left his nice ladder there. He bought me, and the top of it, and then I would, lift it up. We needed some way to keep it centered, so I was looking around, didn't have anything, but I found two group Guatemalans who were eating at a restaurant right next to my house, and I said, hey, you guys want to help me? I'm going to pull up this fence pole, this telephone pole, and they just looked at my scenario I had going on there, and they're like, no, gringo, that's not how you put up power poles. I'm like, what's wrong with it? It'll never work, gringo. You're so dumb. We just need a rope and it'll keep it centered. And they actually had a rope, and they brought their rope out. It turns out these people are actually power hooker-uppers. And I was a little bit pride in my gringo better way of doing things. And I was convinced to show them that this was the way it's done. And they were convinced that that's not the way it's done, and it'll never work. And so there's a little bit of, you know, nationalism going on around here. But I was convinced they hooked up their rope on either end. I said, okay, you guys, all you got to do is keep it centered, and I'm going to pull it with the bus. Got it? Oh, no, this is not how you do it. This is not how you do it. Just trust me. Trust me. It'll work. It'll work. So there I am. I get in the bus, put it in reverse, and it starts to go up looking good. When all of a sudden they decided that it was their job to pull. Instead of keep it centered, you know, just keep it centered. Real easy. They decide to start pulling. Well, one of them was an older guy. The other guy was a lot muscular. And he was just yanking the thing over. I mean, just the poor older guy, he was just, it was just, you know, just leaving him. He couldn't keep up. And I, you know, trying to yell, but, you know, they got the diesel bus going, and he just couldn't. I was just thinking, that is just like these people. That is just like them. You know, God set it all up for them. All they have to do is believe, and there they are, trying to work their way and trying to fix it their own way. Instead of leaving the burden where the burden ought to be, on the bus, there they go, trying to pull. I just like eureka moment when I was watching them do that. And lo and behold, it all goes sideways. And of course, of all the places it had to land, smack on top of the ladder. Just, oh, that was terrible. Nice aluminum foldable step ladder. Just, oh, it's terrible. Oh, I told Yacht out there, like, guys, it's not what you're supposed to do and all this stuff. I told you, gringo, it wouldn't work. I hooked it up again. I told them all, okay. I had to cut my ladder down and cut it down and set it up again and did it again. And it was working this time. It was working. I didn't tie the chain, though. Someone else tied the chain. Just when it was at that critical point of almost sliding in the hole, and the chain comes undone on the bus. Oh, and it fell down again like a dumb gringo. I told you it didn't work. They went and got a 2x4. Apparently it works their way too. I was quite impressed. They got a 2x4, tied some wire around it. They do wire with everything. It's like baling wire for us, and stuck it on there on that thing, and just between both of them, I think they used 2 2x4s. They just shoved it up there. I was really sick that day, but anyways, they got it up and worked it out, and the gringo went away with his tail behind his legs and learned out how you do power lines. But the burden of the word. Let's look here in Matthew 13 now. Matthew 13:18. Matthew 13:18. We know this passage really good. Remember when I was growing up, we'd have a missions conference or missionary come by. He would always preach from this. It would irritate the stew out of me, even as a little kid. I don't even know what he preached. I just remember we'd always go to this place if there was a missionary preaching. And now look who's doing it. What a hypocrite. Matthew 13:18 says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received by the wayside." Now let's pray. Holy Father, I pray that you please work in this message and give me the word to say. Please work in your word. No, it won't return void. And I ask that you would work in each one of us here, especially my nieces and nephews, Lord. If there's any of them that aren't saved, help them get saved. Those that are saved, please help them to base their life on your word and put the burden where it's got to be. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I need them helpers. Helpers, helpers, helpers. Micaiah, which one's Micaiah? That's Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah, come up here and bring me that red chair, would you? So all of our faith is resting on something. Now we went and turned turned our key on in our car to come here today, and we were pretty sure it was going to start. Some of us. We're pretty sure it was going to start. Because why? Because it had started a whole bunch of times before. We knew there was going to be church today because there's always church here at 11 o'clock, right? And so we had faith that there was going to be church because of past experiences. And that's what our faith was resting on. And what's our faith toward God actually resting on? We got a chair here, which is synonymous with faith if you're a good Baptist. We always use chairs, don't we? Illustrate faith. We're going to illustrate it even a little bit more dangerously here for poor Isaiah. You want to sit down, Isaiah? Let's see how much faith you have in this chair here. There we go. You feel faith? Having faith? Oh, I think it's pretty good definition of faith there. Okay, so we got Isaiah here. Now you can't move around because you're going to stress me out, man. Okay? Stress me out. I have to be real still. And a lot of people's faith, especially young people, guess what their faith is resting in? Their faith is resting in that they're a Christian because, you know what, everyone's a Christian. It's what we do around here. We go to church. We read our Bible. And that's just what we do. Because, you know, we've always done that. Grandpa, he started the church around here, and we just know that that's what you do. But guess what happens? Even Wesley and Felicity, they're the same way. I mean, it's Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. We have church at 2, and we jump in the bus at 1 o'clock to go pick people up. And they always ask me, Daddy, is it time to pick up the kids yet? Daddy, time to pick up the kids yet. And I got them, you know, I'll go and see that one and that two zeros on my phone, and we're going to go. And you know, that's exciting for them. They just can't wait to go pick up the kids and have church on Sunday because that's life for them. That's what their life is for being a missionary's kid, you know. And that's what their faith is based on what's fun and on what's interesting. And because that's just what they do. So we're going to write on here. Interesting, okay? You're not going to be able to see it, but just believe me, that's what we're going to call this. Their faith is based on what is interesting and what's fun, okay? But guess what? Guess what happens? Now we need Micaiah. Who's back there? Busy. And who's that?
Reuben.
Reuben, I'm sorry, Reuben. I'm going to learn my nephews' names one of these days. Reuben and Jonathan, I guess. Who's not? Oh, he's back there, too. Joshua. Sorry, Jonathan. I'm just showing my ignorance. You can sit down. I'm going to use Joshua. So we got here Joshua and Reuben holding this like this, okay? Let's change so people can see. A smaller one there so people can see. There you go. Now, how's your reflexes, Isaiah? Are they pretty good? Well, let's just get them prepared. Because, see, I'm going to kick that kickstand behind you. And you're going to have to catch yourself, okay? Think you can do that? Can you grab that when I kick it? Yeah? You're not impressing me with your reflexes, but we'll find out. Well, let's look here in Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5 says, we know this verse by memory, I hope. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own what? Understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And so, right now, Isaiah's young, and he's, you know, goes to church because, you know, that's what we do, and that's fun, and I get to go see my cousins. I remember me and Jonathan, every day, we would go out soul winning. Every day! That was exciting to us. We got to be together, and we'd go out soul winning, and Daniel as well, we would go out soul winning. Sour Skittles. Ooh. We had a sour Skittle addiction. And, you know, we went out soul winning because, you know, first we hit that vending machine. Got those sour Skittles. And that was what was fun. You know, and praise the Lord, Daniel's in church now, but, you know, Jonathan's not anymore. But what happened? Jonathan's faith, I guess, was built on something that wasn't going to support him later on in life. Something better came up. Something more interesting came up. Guess what happened? Wow, he did it. You got to keep doing it. We're going to do this a whole bunch of times, man. Grab that. There you go. Try to keep it so it's like, there you go. So you don't hit your head. There you go. And what did Isaiah do? He leaned into his own understanding. Because, you know, something more interesting came up. His faith was no longer, didn't hold him up. He didn't have faith anymore. Because it was based on something that wasn't going to hold him up. All right, let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 13, where we were. Matthew 13. What verse did we stop at? 20, I think. Other people have their faith in a person. I'm going to put a person on here, okay? R-S-O-N. All right, so right now, Isaiah's faith. All right, your kickstand's working. Right now, Isaiah's faith is in a person. You know what? I believe, you know, because Grandpa believed. I believe because Daddy believed. I believe, and they put their eyes on a person. They're following maybe another Christian or a parent or a pastor or something. And they're just, you know, trying to put their life in step with that person and following that person. Guess what happens? That person either dies. A lot of things I've been struggling with lately, you know, I'm so used to calling up my dad every Monday morning and talking to him and getting counsel from him. But guess what? He ain't around anymore. I can't call him up anymore. It's hard. And I'm trying to find my way and trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. Because it's not, I had some of my faith based on what his counsel was. And it's not as easy anymore. I'm sure a lot of you are gone through the same thing after Dad Vaughn died as well. And it can happen with kids or young people, and they have someone in church but maybe that person fell into sin or offended them in some way, and they're just, well, what do I do now? And their faith is gone, and they start leaning into themselves again. Let's look in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. We need to examine ourselves. We need to check and see what our faith is actually leaning against. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not yourselves how that Christ Jesus in you, except ye be reprobates. We need to figure out and examine ourselves, see what our faith is actually resting on. Let's go back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I sent you there and I didn't read anything, didn't I? I'm sorry. Got splinters. That was the cleanest board I could find, by the way. Yeah, sorry. Matthew 13. Verse 20. Okay. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Others have their faith resting in their circumstances, in good circumstances. Good circumstances. Don't tell them how I spelled circumstances, okay? Good circumstances. That's what Isaiah's faith is now leaning on. Things going well. All the workers that are there filling up our hole. It's a real blessing. I've been praying a lot and filled that hole and doing a good job. Investing over $1 million to fill in that hole. It's pretty impressive. And at least that's what they said. They blessed. I don't know if they used it all in materials or if it just went to somebody, but it looks pretty impressive. And it was a big hole, about 50 feet deep, and about half of a soccer field worth of work. Anyways, but a whole bunch of workers there working, and this one guy, he says, you know, ever since I started going to church, great things, a lot of blessings have come into my life. Well, that's great. A lot of good blessings came into your life, man. But what would you have done had good blessings not come into your life? What would have happened? What would you have done? You know, when we base our life on our faith, on things going well for us, guess what? Things always aren't going to go well for us, are they? So when trials come, persecutions, tribulations come, what do you think, Isaiah? His faith is gone. And he starts leaning into his own understanding. As long as my business is going good, you know, I'm a believer. As long as I have a job, as long as I'm healthy, as long as everyone in my family thinks the way I think and there's no friction in our family, you know what? I'm going to believe. That's a big problem we have down there. You know, being that person who's going to be different. Being that person who doesn't go to the dances. Whatever the dances are, it's a marimba, you know. It's really, really seducting, you know, I know, a marimba. Woo. That's bad for them. It's really funny, but. But that's their weakness. Anyways, so going to the marimba, that's really bad if you're a Christian. But anyways, as long as to be different, it's really hard for them to be different. But tell me this, what did God promise? Because listen, what did God promise? Did he promise us that we're going to be comfortable? Or did he promise us that we can be saved? He promised us salvation or did he promise us comfort? Which one did he promise us, kids?
Saved.
He didn't promise us comfort, did he? He did not. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Says, yea, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. All of us who are going to live godly, we're going to suffer. Let's look at Matthew 10:16 as well. Matthew 10:16, we need to make our way back to Matthew anyways. Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Verse 10:17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. So he says, you know what? There's going to be problems. In verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. He that endureth the end shall be saved. You know, the gospel got to us because there was some Christians whose faith wasn't rooted in their circumstances. It wasn't rooted in their circumstances. Hey, you guys can't preach here anymore. If you guys preach here, we're going to throw you in prison. I go, okay, well, we're going to keep preaching here. It's a good thing they did. And they were burnt. They were sawn in half. I read this one guy's testimony. Well, not he died. But what they did to the Christians, they cut their stomach open, filled it full of corn, and threw them on the ground in the pig pen. Imagine what happened there. Burnt, boiled in oil, fed to lions, but they kept believing. It's a good thing our early Christians' faith wasn't based in circumstances. I'd like to see what our faith is in something like that. And so, if you believe God, hoping, if you believe Him, trying to be hoping, and because your faith is trusting in and God blessing you, your faith will not stand. Let's go back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 22. Matthew 13, 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I'm not talking about salvation here. We can argue if this is talking about salvation or not. Let's just suppose, for the sake of the illustration message here, that this guy is saved, okay? But he's still trusting. He's still looking for those blessings. He's still looking for good circumstances. And guess what? They came. He, at the same time he started believing, things actually started to get good in his life. Things started to get better in his life. He started to make more money. Things were starting to look up in his life. But guess what happened? Instead of his faith starting to grow, he is still looking for circumstances. He's still looking for blessings. And guess what happened? These circumstances began to strangle him. We're going to strangle him, okay? We need to start strangling him. There we go. They start to squish him. They start to strangle him. And you know what? He's looking now. He's basing God's will. He's looking he's basing God's will off of what is comfortable, off of what is good for him, what's comfortable. And pretty soon, he's turning faithless. He's turning faithless. He's not doing anything for God because he's just looking out for himself. He's just looking out for what's comfortable for him and trying to say, well, God's behind this. You know, God, I prayed for a wife and boy, this pretty one came up. You know, she's not saved, but you know, this must be it because, you know, this looks like a good one. Or you know what? I was praying for a job and I got this job, you know, and I have to work on Sundays and stuff, but you know, I prayed for a job, so this must be it. It sure is a good paying one. And what's happening? He's becoming faithless because he's trusting in circumstances. He's looking for the good blessings, looking for good stuff, and not basing his life on the Word of God. And guess what happens? He doesn't even... You guys got to push hard for this one, okay? He's got to really get strangled. He doesn't even need faith anymore. He's trusting his supposed blessings are just strangling him. God's blessed him so much, he doesn't even need God anymore. How about that? Is that the way God blesses? Sure isn't. Let's look in Proverbs. Let's look in Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth what? No." Are you with me? 10:22. Blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth what? No sorrow with it. He's going to have sorrow come judgment day. He's going to have sorrow looking at his life and realizing he was way wrong with the will of God. He wasn't anywhere close. Oh, he says he believed in the blood. Oh, he said he was saved by grace. That's the only place you saw any faith in his life. That's the only place he didn't build his life off of what God, the Bible says. There was no jumping out in faith. It was all, what's best for me? And it strangled him. Let's look here in Jeremiah 12. Jeremiah 12. Jeremiah 12:1 says, judgment is coming for all these that have the supposed faith based on what's comfortable. Jeremiah 12:1. Jeremiah 12:1, verse 3, it says, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgment. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their what? Mouth. They have the supposed faith. And far from their reins. They're not jumping out in faith for anything. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried me, mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. So judgment is coming for all these who have their faith based on what's comfortable. They talk about God. They say they're saved. They say this. They're trusting the blood, but their life is not trusting at all in the Word of God. Let's finish here in Matthew 13:23. Matthew 13:23. You guys can sit down now. Thanks. Not you, Isaiah. Stay there. Prop you on the Word of God where you belong. There you go. Now you can sit back. All right. Matthew 13:23 says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. See, now Isaiah, he's not trusting in what's fun. He's not trusting in a person trying to build their life, comparing his life to some super Christian out there. He's not building his life on what's comfortable. He's building his life now on what the Bible says. It's not just enough to save his soul. He says, you know what? This Bible is enough to lead me to make good decisions. And so Isaiah starts supporting his life now on what ought to support him. The burden of the word. Putting the burden on the word there. Let's look in 24. Matthew 24:35. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? My word shall not pass away. What's fun is going to pass away. Good circumstance is going to pass away. Men are going to pass away, but what's not going to pass away? The Bible, God's word. And when Isaiah supports his life on the Bible, he ain't going to go nowhere. It isn't going to let him down. That same Brother Cloud said, he's writing a book with all those people that trusted God's promises and he let them down. It's going to be a really empty book. And that's what Isaiah. God's not going to let him down because he's parked his life on the Word of God. You can sit down, Isaiah. Thank you very much. So what's your faith resting on? We need to examine ourselves. See what our faith is resting on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you please work in each one of our lives. Help us to see if any decisions that we make are decisions that are using our own reasoning and looking for what other people are doing, looking for what's comfortable, and not adapting what you said to our lives. I pray that each one here, including my life, that I would trust you, even though it looks like there can't be any way that you could help us, any way it's going to turn out good. But I pray that we would build our lives so that we would have fruit and not get strangled by the cares of this world and go down a path that's not your will. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.